flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk, brought to you by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. We've got you covered all week from the Morial Convention Center on Radio Row. So we're going, though, from Radio Row right now to the Caesar Superdome for Media Night going on. And the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, checking in. How's it going over there in the Dome, Bobby? What's the spectacle like?
Well, it is a spectacle. I mean, it's like, whoa. So the fans are involved. I don't know. It seems like just in the stands, they have 15,000 people.
Whoa.
And it's, it's unbelievable. It's way bigger than we had this thing, the last Super Bowl, basically a decade ago between the Ravens and 49ers. I guess you had more access. I don't know, security and all that, but just the fans, like, initially, Saquon Barkley, he's up on the podium, and, Jalen Hurts is kind of like the main players. And it's like 20, 30 deep to get to him. Now, when the Eagles came out into the crowd, I got to chat with Vic Fangio a couple of minutes, and I'm going to go back and speak with him, after we finish this interview. But, he's all excited and looking forward to, hoping them coming away with a win.
Baba,
we always talked about winning a Super Bowl.
Baba, talking about Jalen Hurts and the Jalen we saw at Alabama, and then no matter what you might think about Lincoln Riley as a head coach, because his defense has been so damn bad. I don't care if it's Oklahoma, USC. He knows how to groom quarterbacks. I think that was the biggest move for Jalen Hurts, of him leaving Alabama, work under Lincoln Riley. He was a totally different player at Oklahoma than he was at Alabama as a passer. He still's a great threat as a runner, but I think that strategic move to go to Oklahoma to work with a coach that had great success with other quarterbacks and with Lincoln Riley, I think really catapulted his career today.
Oh, without a doubt. A lot of times the quarterback, you have to keep your confidence and your ability in yourself, even when when Coach Saban took him out of the game and put in Tua. Think about that. That can break your spirit. And you just have to constantly believe in yourself. And so he knew he could play. You can go from Alabama to Oklahoma and still be significant. And then now what he's done in the NFL, Saquon Barkley helps him definitely to be a better quarterback, but he's improved as a passer. And the last Super Bowl when they lost to the Chiefs, just look at the numbers.
Yep.
He had a way better game than Pat Mahomes. The only thing he did, I think he kind of stumbled and he was scrambling to the right. Remember, he kind of dropped the ball and they picked it up, scoop and score. But other than that, you can just look it up. Whether you want to look at rushing yards, passing yards, touchdowns, no, he outplayed Pat Mahomes, and I think it might take that kind of effort by him, to be able to beat the Chiefs. All I know is at the end of the game, if they can be up by two scores, I think then you could be comfortable. But if it's one score, I don't know about that.
Bob, the SEC connections at wide receiver. I remember we go to Manning camp, and Deuce and I are doing the show there, and he's got a pitcher that I took. I mean, I think it's gotten, I've had so many people, oh, could I print that? It was DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Deuce. And Deuce tells me, I think I'm the smallest one in a bunch. Man, you don't realize, like, AJ Brown, he's built like a running back. He's really thickly built. And then the flip of that, is Devontae Smith. Ramit High School, and I've told the story so many times. He didn't. When he came to our camp right before his junior year, he wasn't even 160 pounds. He was so thin, but he was corkscrewing guys into the ground. He could run a route so well, catching the football. Wins the Heisman Trophy at University of Alabama. Now, that's a real feat to win the Heisman Trophy at Alabama as a receiver. Yeah.
Mike, it's a quarterback award.
Yes.
And, very few, when you see someone is not a quarterback winning the Heisman Trophy. And, Mike, to show you how mature he was and the game went too big for him, and when they won in overtime, wasn't he the true freshman and caught the touchdown pass?
He sure was.
Against Georgia. Now, just look at that play. There was a look at that, Austin, and the first thing, you're around football fans around here, and what did they say? Oh, why didn't he go to LSU?
I think they maybe knew what NIL was before NIL was actually legal, but it's all good. And it worked out for Devontae. And to think about, he's part of this group of receivers from the state of Louisiana. He's so proud of to watch Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase and Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers and Devontae. Okay, now four to five go to LSU. But, you think about five receivers of that caliber in a short period of time. It's unbelievable that this state is producing that much talent at the wide receiver position.
Remember how we say, like, LSU in particular, like, DBU, and then not so much. I mean, you could say Louisiana's like wide receiver the wide receiver state. And when you're looking at the players who have made a difference now, and then looking to deep south, for arguably the greatest receiver ever, Jerry Rice, Mississippi. So when you look at that, that's where you're still going to find the playmakers and the skill players. I still think that gene pool, like you always say, in the River Parish and then in the deep south, that's where all the speed is.
You think about Keon Coleman. Okay, he was really a basketball player at Opelousas. And he was sort of on the B list for LSU, and then they kind of ran out of room. And he goes to Michigan State, then he goes to Florida State. Then all of a sudden, he's the first pick in round two to draft to Buffalo. He's sort of a football puppy like Brian Thomas Jr., learning the position. And in this year's draft class, Trey Harris, who goes to, he was a quarterback on the same high school team as Malik Nabers. He goes to Louisiana Tech, and he developed into a pretty solid receiver then, and all of a sudden, he had a chance to go to Ole Miss, and he knew Lane Kiffin was going to throw it. He had some injuries last year for Ole Miss, but think about that. Again, Trey having that opportunity, he's going to be a pick probably in round two of the draft. Again, it keeps kind of cultivating all the talent at wide receiver, and I know one thing in the camps we do, if you had 300 guys do the camp, you'd have about four buses of guys that want to play receiver.
Yes,
one bus, so to speak, that want to play defensive line. One.
So, Mike, what do you think about now? It's cyclical. When you look at the running back class this year kind of in the draft. Now, I heard it's kind of, it's kind of like back in vogue, I guess, simply because what Saquon accomplished, a 2,000-yard rusher. But what do you think about the running back position in the future and how the game is almost tilted that way as of late? Because then, it's a cat-and-mouse game and a chess match, how you could try and defend offenses. And then you saw this season, we're going to run right at you. And we're going to be more physical. And the running game, to me, came back in vogue. And I know definitely the Philadelphia Eagles want to take that approach. And even Andy Reid would tell you with Pat Mahomes that, if they can run with Pacheco, if they can run it, they want to run it too.
Bob, even before the season started, it looked really good at the running back position. Even before we saw this sort of evolution. And Ashton Jeanty he's a terrific player from Boise State. And then maybe Omar Hampton could sneak into round one, but it's from the start of round two to the middle of round four, you're probably going to have 13 running backs picked. That's how deep this draft class is at running back. It is really thick at that running back
Mike,
position.
And then when you look at that, all that depth at the running back position, that's why we can't fool around with Kendre Miller.
No.
Sometimes you're going to hit, sometimes you're going to miss. I think he's about 2.5 strikes, 3 are out right now as far as, you know, obviously him being able to contribute in a Saints uniform because he hasn't been available. You can have all the ability, but you have to be available. And like you said, he better, you know what, or get off the pot because they might go in a different direction for another running back to complement Alvin Kamara next season.
Yeah, I think it's still devalued today. And you probably won't. You'll have one pick for sure. If you get a second, who knows? It's borderline. But I do think that it's not the wear and tear on a running back as it was when you played. Because you really didn't substitute a lot of running backs. Today, it's running back by committee. You know, some teams are playing three backs at a time.
Yeah.
So it's not the same load.
Yeah, Mike, it's like you load, you say, no, if you hit 20 carries, well, that's a lot. You're getting too much a 10 to 15 kind of the balance. And you look at the touches. Yeah, it could be what they do in the passing game, running the football. They might even contribute in a return game. And then they have 20-some touches. But you very seldom see the Derrick Henrys or whatever where you see 25 to 30 carries a game. It's definitely more that by committee. And I think that's a smart way to go it. Because you want the running backs, and they're not all going to always be like Derrick Henry. You want to be ready to roll, you know, come late December, as they are in mid or late September at the beginning of the season.
The other thing too is most of these backs now, they have at least had a little bit of work as a pass protector. I remember talking to Deuce, and he got there. Ricky Williams was there a year, I was like, what do you learn from Ricky? He said, well, one of the things Ricky was telling me was about pass protection. They never asked me to pass protect at Ole Miss. Okay, I was the running back, or I caught a pass coming out the backfield. I didn't do hardly any in pass protection. Now, you as a former quarterback, you know one thing. Man, I don't want to have no green rookie running back there, and he don't know nothing about protecting me because I'm going to get killed, in the pocket.
No, because, Mike, when you look, if it's cover zero and they're blitzing, whether the tight end staying in or running back, they assign someone because you can't double-team everyone. So that running back block or that tight end block sometimes trying to block an edge guy, you know, the mismatch there, that's just as important as any the interior line or the tackles. And, you know, and then a lot of times, let's say a tight end's missing his block and can't pass block or a running back. They say, oh, the offensive line sucks.
Yeah.
They can't block. You know, be like, no, just look at the play. The line blocked pretty good. It was the damn tight end or the running back and they got run over or whiffed or something.
Bob, just curious, have you gotten to hear or see the crowd around Kellen Moore yet at the Superdome?
No, that's what I was going to say initially. We could not find Kellen Moore. I saw, like, the Eagles. We're going to go back out there, and Jeff's trying to hunt him up right now.
Okay.
But we saw, you know, they got to come mingle through the media, and the fans could see him from the stadium. But we did not see. We're all looking for him. We did not see Kellen Moore. One is, they keeping them on the low because, but you know, I think the way the NFL has it, that this, it's not like you can sit back at your hotel. You have to do this. You know, you have to, even though you might not want to do this, a bunch of BS that, you know, a lot of the players, like Scoot was with me tonight. Scoot said, I'm looking at some of these players. Boy, they sure in the hell look like they don't want to be here. I said, they look like that because they really don't want to have to do this.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I'm exactly. Like Marshawn Lynch.
A lot of them want to just play.
Bob, I don't know if you heard it, but we talked about it a few minutes ago, but Cooper Kupp has asked for a trade from the Rams, and whoever acquires him, he's getting paid $20 million a year. So you're looking in today's world.
He's good, but he ain't that good.
Man.
I don't know. To me, $20 million. Now, I'm for all the players getting paid. But that's a lot. It's not that. Cooper Kupp, he's dealt with a few things. And the only thing is, you know what's interesting? That he requested a trade. But isn't Matthew Stafford like his best friend or something?
Maybe he knows something that's right. not been out yet, because you and I talked about this. Matt Stafford has openly talked about retiring.
Yes, yes. And saying, but Mike, I don't know. When you get, how much he's making, about 45, 50 million, whatever?
Yeah, in that range.
No, it's kind of like, I think I can last a few more months, and then I won't sign an extension. You know, because in that real world, you know, you ain't going to have them kind of paydays anymore.
No, those end real quick. You got the best line for it. The real world sucks.
For sure.
All right, well, I'm going to go look and see if I can find Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I'm seeing on social media. He is talking to the media, so go find him, Cajun Cannon.
He is talking now, Bob.
Okay, all right. Talk to y'all later. Okay, bye.
Thanks for the time. That was the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, checking in from the Caesars Superdome on opening night of Super Bowl 59.